Just a word about the readings we're going to have. We'll continue the Acts of the Apostles. And so today we begin with chapter 4 and we'll just keep going through. Because this is the risen life. This is the life of the risen Christ lived in and through his church. And so that's what we do through all this Easter season. So you heard how they were persecuted, they prayed, the house shook, and they went out and they spoke the word of God, metaparesias, with boldness is translated. It also means with confidence. Paresia is one of those marvelous Greek words. They're smart, the Greeks, you know. Paresia is the attitude friends have with each other. Relaxed, confident, you know? It's also the attitude a man has who stands up in the city council because he's a citizen and has a right to speak and speaks. Now, if you've ever lived in the Mediterranean, you know that they all have that, you know? Metaparesias. So you see, they're speaking with not just boldness, but with confidence. They know they're supposed to speak. So they do. That's one of the gifts of the resurrection. To go tell everybody about the Lord Jesus, metaparesias, with confidence, with assurance. You have the right to do it. You have the ability to do it. You have the Spirit with you, and so forth. The Gospels, for the most part now, of course, they'll all, nearly all be from John. There's a few from Matthew toward the end. And they treat, basically the first part at least, of the sacramental life of the church. Now, this is something that's hard for us to grasp. Why, if I say, if I'm standing here and I say to somebody, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I have no water, it's not a baptism. Or if I pour water and don't say anything, it's no baptism. You say, well, now, isn't God getting technical? I mean, we are embarrassed by matter, and God is not. We are submerged in matter. And the Lord knows that. And so he teaches us. First about baptism. So you hear, this is a Pharisee, which means he's somebody who's, what would you call him today? He's a conservative. They're not all bad guys. A lot of those who opposed Jesus and had him killed were Pharisees. But there's some good ones. And here's one. Nakdimon ben Gurion, Nicodemus. He was of a very famous, the wealthiest family in Jerusalem. I mean, like real wealth. In our terms, I mean, he'd be up there with the guy who owns Walmart, that kind of guy. But he belongs to the Pharisaic party. He's very, you know, very strictly keeping the law out of reverence for God. And he comes and he says, Rabbi, to this hick from Galilee. Rabbi, you see that he's, how open he is, right? And he shows up again in chapter 7 and again in chapter 19. He's a secret disciple. Okay. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. Now you'd expect Jesus to say, well, thank you very much. You know, he comes right back at him to move him. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one, a man in the text, but we're in the feminist age, unless one is born from above, He cannot see the kingdom of God. Born from above. Now, Nicodemus is used to the mode of discussion among the Pharisees. They take their interlocutor's stage. They want more enlightenment, so they put it to the most ridiculous. And then he explains, you see. So Nicodemus says, is he going to enter into his mother's womb again? What are you telling me? He's got to be born again. Now Jesus answers, you see, unless a one is born of water and spirit, he couldn't see the kingdom of God. Now he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now did you ever think about this? Yeah, how the importance of water and spirit? We just had all the baptisms, you know, at Easter last week. There, God's grace, God's life was given through matter. Do you understand? We have become subject to matter. You know, we don't eat, we get hungry. We walk a long time, we get tired. And that's the result of sin. Original sin. So the Lord comes and takes that subjection to matter and makes it the vehicle of life. Water, oil, bread, wine, hands, words. What a marvelous thing. Do you understand? What he's done for us. We kind of think, well, especially a little baby, you know, kind of a little initiation, right? No. The Holy Spirit acts at that moment through water and spirit. Or an adult. This is the life of the body of Christ. It's a real body. And it works as a body. And has material dimensions that convey grace, life of God. Now, you'd think, since we love matter so much, we'd like that. But we're more baffled by it than most generations. Because, you know, matter. Go up to the mall. You know. 300 million tons of matter? I mean, how much is up there? You know, go into a grocery store. You know, I looked for eggs the other day. I mean, there must have been 4,000, 10,000 eggs there. Matter, matter, matter all over the place, especially we Americans. And then to find out it's a vehicle of divine grace. Really important. This resurrection, the cross and resurrection, has even transformed matter. And matter is beginning once again to have the role it will have for all eternity. When God himself will give himself to matter, and it will be glorious and radiant and eternal forever. Isn't that exciting? I mean, isn't that exciting? That's better. You see? So, we'll do the rest of this discourse on baptism. Then we'll go into bread and wine. And John 6. The whole discourse. That whole marvelous discourse. Which is eating and drinking wisdom. We better go on.